and then he gave some of us the ability to listen. Amen. I'm a listener. It's good to have all of you with us tonight. Let me say right now, at the beginning of this is probably going to be one of the most important lessons that I ever give you in all the time I've ever been in this church. I'm going to give you some stuff tonight that should, when you walk out that back door after you've heard what I have to say, you should be doing some serious thinking. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray now that you give me the gift of teaching. And my Heavenly Father, our Lord, I pray for your Spirit to come into this house. And you tell us in the Word of God that we have an unction from the Holy One. And that unction is the power of the Holy Spirit to discern, differentiate, and teach us the things that we need to learn. And God, tonight, may what I say, our Heavenly Father, be affirmed and confirmed by the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God. And we pray it in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake I ask it. And amen. All right, we'll turn to Revelation chapter 13. With me tonight, please. Revelation chapter 13. Chapter 13. The 13th chapter. Say, I don't believe in numbers. I do. Amen. So you're superstitious. No, I'm not. I'm a Bible believer. Amen. The number 13 is a bad number. The 13th chapter of the book of Revelation and verse 1. The Apostle John said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion." Now note carefully, this is what is so important about this, and this is what I want to call your attention to, and let this settle in. "And the dragon," that's the devil, "gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So therefore, Satan grooms individuals to become the Antichrist. They may not be aware of it. They may not be conscious of it. But in any event, conscious or not, here and there, Satan lays his hand on someone and begins to groom them for that position. The Bible says in Daniel chapter number 8 and verse 24, "And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. Through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand." Daniel 11:36 says, "And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper," note carefully, "and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done." So we have, as I taught in Sunday school this past Sunday morning, a timeline, a chronology, a beginning of events and a closing off of the events. And I told you that any detective will immediately set a timeline so he can place people at certain places and times, so forth. That's very important, timeline. Amen. And the timeline starts the tribulation period of the signing of a covenant. Amen. That's what starts it. The rapture, which is the catching away of the bride, takes place sometime before that. Sometime during that period. Sometime, somewhere, we do not know, but we do know the church is going to be caught up to meet him in the clouds and in the air. That's an unknown thing. And the Lord Jesus himself said, "No man knoweth that hour, not even the Son." So apparently the Father holds it within his own power to speak to the Son to come back, take up his bride. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 that you will see the man of sin, for the day of Christ shall not come. The day of Christ is the day of Christ and his bride. The day of the Lord is the day of the tribulation period and the millennium. The day of the Lord runs 1,007 years. The day of Christ is the period where Christ comes for his bride and finishes at the second coming when he comes with his bride. That's the day of Christ. And there's a vast difference between the two. But the Bible says that you will see the Antichrist as he is manifested. Not that he declares himself to be the Antichrist, but God has equipped you with the kind of knowledge to where you should know when somebody fits the bill and qualified to fit the bill as the Antichrist. Obviously, he's not going to stand up and say, I'm the man of sin, the son of perdition, I'm the Antichrist, here I am, welcome me with open arms. And he goes on Oprah and go talk shows and all the rest of them and makes his circuit throughout the world. No, he's not going to do that. The Bible says that by his hand, craft shall prosper. He literally is a financial genius. He's also a political genius, and he's also a manipulative individual that this world has never known. He has charisma. The reason I quoted the book of Revelation 13 first is for you to understand that his power is not human origin. His power is satanic. He is so different from an average human being that people are literally blown away in his presence. He has this drawing power, this charisma, this ability to project himself, and people are awed in standing before him. And it's not his power, it's not human ability that does that. It is something that people cannot put their finger on. But he's different. He's different. And he's been placed there by the hand of Satan. Now, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter number 11, that two witnesses, verse 3, witness against him. They prophesy 1,260 days. All you have to do is take that and divide it by 365, and you come out with 3.5. In other words, you come out with about 3.5 years. Although you have to be careful with 365. In the Bible, 360 is prophecy. In other words, a year of prophecy. But anyway, these two witnesses prophesy, speak against this man of sin for 3.5 years. And then the Bible says that he puts them to death. He kills them. Apparently cuts their head off. And their dead bodies lie in the streets of Jerusalem. But something takes place in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation that's different. You only find it in one other place. If you'll notice, it says over here in Revelation chapter number 11 and verse 12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Now note carefully verse 11. After 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now they're alive, but they're not alive to be left here. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. Well, that's the same thing we hear in Revelation 4, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. This is a tribulation rapture. And where it takes place in the tribulation depends upon this 3.5 years and when they confront the Antichrist. Can't nail it down. But a tribulation rapture takes place. And it's not the church that's being raptured. It's believers in the tribulation. Many of them Jewish, many of them Gentile, whatever. But they are raptured up. They're called up like these two witnesses are. And the Lord comes back for them. That's why he talks about in Matthew 24, 5 wise, 5 foolish virgins. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. All right. Now, without getting into a lot of technical stuff about the second coming, I just want you to see that true believers confront the Antichrist. That's obvious from the text. There's no way to doubt that. These two witnesses, you can argue till the Lord comes back about who they are. Moses and Elijah, Enoch and Elijah, Enoch and Moses, so forth and so on. That's not the issue tonight. True believers confront the Antichrist. True believers. There are true believers here when the Antichrist is here. You see, the whole world doesn't fall before him. There will be many who do not, that reject him and refuse to believe his lie. Now, I'm not up here tonight to promote a Democrat or a Republican, but I'm to teach the Bible. My purpose in teaching the Bible, insofar as it relates to any political candidate, is only as it relates to that political candidate. That's my purpose. And what I'm going to say to you right here in a moment, you may construe the wrong way, and I hope you don't. Because what I'm saying right here in just a moment, I will give you the information, the source of the information, and what's being said about a particular political candidate. It has long since passed the stage of politics and gotten into religion. It's gotten into a much deeper thing. Many of the people who support this candidate are even critical of these people who have gone so far as to make it a religion. This individual candidate may not even be aware of the fact that these people have gone so far as to begin to worship him. To give him the benefit of the doubt and the people who support him simply on political reasons, we give them the benefit of the doubt. What I'm trying to show you tonight is how that a man can be taken and that man can be transformed from a political candidate into a religious candidate. And this country has never seen that before. This country has never seen a political candidate transformed into a religious candidate. In plainer words, he's called a Messiah. My purpose in teaching this tonight is to show you how that Satan can groom a man and prepare him for the office of Antichrist. In the process of doing this, the man may enter into this completely innocent, simply having a desire to serve his country. I'm not God. I cannot judge any man's motives. And I'm not going to do that tonight. But I am going to show you tonight how a line has been crossed. How that something is happening now in this political atmosphere today that is different from any time in the past. And what I'm giving you is documented material that I've taken from the internet. There's a website called ObamaMessiah.blog. Now, whether Mr. Obama is aware of that website or not, I do not know, because I cannot judge his motives. I'm not God. Whether he's aware of the fact that people are literally worshiping him, I don't know. But people are not worshiping John McCain. And nobody's calling John McCain the Messiah. And this is what is very interesting tonight, is to show you how that a man may be as innocent as he can be, yet that man can be groomed by Satan to become the Antichrist, but that man will have to make a decision. That man will have to choose himself whether he will continue and receive the power of Satan or reject the power of Satan. He will consciously receive it or reject it, just like the Lord Jesus Christ said no when Satan offered him the kingdoms of this world and the power of this world. My prayer is that Mr. Obama says no, because I do not desire for anybody to be damned. My desire is that once it becomes clear enough to him to understand that if this happens and transpires before your very eyes, which it can, and he realizes that he's being offered a power that is not of this world, that something has happened that has propelled him far beyond his what normally should have happened, that when that moment comes and Satan will come to him, you can believe that he says no. That's my prayer, that he says no. Here are some quotes. Jesse Jackson Jr. said, "What Barack Obama has accomplished is the single most extraordinary event that has occurred in 232 years of the nation's political history." One man in South Carolina said he communicates God-like energy. Mark Morford said, "A light worker, an attuned being with powerful luminosity and high vibration integrity who will actually help usher in a new way of being." The Chicago Sun-Times, "We just like to say his name. We are considering taking it as a mantra." Many, Dinesh Sharma says, "Many see in Obama a Messiah-like figure, a great soul, and some affectionately call him Mahat Obama," referring back to Mahatma Gandhi. the man who fought British colonialism in India. Oprah Winfrey, we're here to evolve to a higher plane. He is an evolved leader. He has an ear for eloquence and a tongue dipped in the unvarnished truth. Bill Rush said, I would have characterized the Senate race as being a race where Obama was, let's say, blessed and highly favored. That's not routine. There's something else going on. I think that Obama, his election to the Senate, was divinely ordered. I know that that was God's plan. Obama's finest speeches do not excite, Ezra Klein says. They do not inform. They don't even really inspire. They elevate. He is not the Word made flesh, but the triumph of Word over flesh. Obama is at his best able to call us back to our highest selves. Gary Hart, you all know, he is not operating on the same plane as ordinary politicians. The agent of transformation in an age of revolution, as a figure uniquely qualified to open the door to the 21st century. Chris Matthews of Hardball, this is bigger than Kennedy. This is the New Testament. I felt this thrill going up my leg. I mean, I don't have that too often. No, seriously, it's a dramatic event. Chris Matthews, he calls his show Hardball. Messiah 2008, Mr. Obama, reach out and touch faith. The New Republic has Mr. Obama with a halo about his head. Der Spiegel, which is a German magazine, says, Der Messias Factor. I think I could interpret that to mean the Messiah equation about Mr. Obama. He is depicted time and time and time again like this. That is not a political figure. He is depicted like this. He is depicted like this. Here is one where a long-haired young woman with him up above her, like God in heaven, and here are people literally kneeling before him. Say again, Mr. Obama may not even be aware of this, and many of his supporters would probably be offended with this. My purpose tonight is to show you how that somebody can be touched, pinpointed, chosen, and they have to make a decision. Will they cross the line and accept the worship or remain a human being like the rest of us? Here is a depiction of Mr. Obama with constantly you see this light behind his head, in other words, he's a ray of light shining forth. A piece of graffiti that says, Obama is God. Now, that could be written about anybody. Barack Obama did not write that. Fact of the matter is, if he knew about that, he would probably say, I had nothing to do with that, and I would agree with him. I'm just telling you what people are saying, okay? Don't misunderstand me tonight. My purpose as a Baptist preacher, as a minister of the gospel, is to teach the Bible and show you how the Bible can be fulfilled in somebody. And it has nothing to do with the choice that he's making right now, but it could lead to something. Are you following me? I hope I make myself plain, because this is such a touchy thing. Somebody will say, oh, you're not endorsing Mr. Obama, you're endorsing so-and-so. Has nothing to do with endorsing anybody. I'm showing you how to study the Bible. I'm showing you how to take the Bible, you're not a child of darkness, you're a child of the day, and make application of it. Look at what's coming down the street. Look! Keep your eyes open and listen. Here's Mr. Obama descending from heaven on a staircase. Sitting next to him is George Soros. How many of you know who Mr. Soros is? One of the richest men in the world, one of the most influential men in the world, one of the most powerful men on the face of this earth, a man who controls governments. Mr. George Soros. Here's Mr. Obama with another halo about his head. Time and time and time again, you see this. You see this. One man in South Carolina, Steve Davis, said he communicates God-like energy. He talks about how that he is so much like Jesus. And of course, that's what he's saying. Barack Obama has never said he's like Jesus. This is what these people are saying. Jesse Jackson Jr., as I've said before, says that this event has occurred in 232 years of the nation's political history. Another quote, his speeches give an aura of immortality that belies the fact that he's a living, breathing human. In plain words, they say there's something about him that just passes humanity. That's just greater than humanity. Now, this is where it crosses the line. And when I saw this, I was literally boiling with anger. Because this website, and you can go to this website, you're welcome to check anything out that I've done. It shows, quotes Matthew chapter number 17, verse 2, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And of course, it's Mr. Obama. And it's remarkable that back here, I don't know if you can see this or not. I don't know if you can see this. That's a white horse. And if you know the Bible, you know what that means. And I don't know whether these people who did this did it intentionally to correlate it with Revelation 6 or if they simply did it to embellish the painting. But notice carefully, he was transfigured. In plainer words, so godlike that he's crossed the line from being human into God or somewhere quasi in between the two. This is the one, though, that literally, this crosses the line. And if Mr. Obama knows that this is on the internet, he should disassociate himself and disavow any connection with these people whatsoever. This is the most offensive thing that I have heard in my lifetime. I'll read it for you. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And when Jesus Obama was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Now, how would you understand that? What does that mean to you? You're a Christian. You're a believer. But you live in a politically correct generation where you can't say anything that would offend someone else. That offends me. Now, Mr. Obama didn't say that. But that's what was said about him. That offends me. That would offend me if they said that about John McCain. It'd offend me if he said it about George Bush. If they said it about any human being, that is the most offensive thing you could say to a Christian. There's only one Son of God. There's only one Lamb of God. Only one. Now, what should be an issue tonight is whether Mr. Obama knows this or not. That should be the issue. And if he knows this and allows this, then we've got an issue. We've got a big issue. And if you are a true believer and he knows this and he knows his people are saying this that support him and he enters into office knowing this, knowing you know it and his people know it, you better get ready. Because this proves without question they have no respect whatsoever for the church of God. But it goes even further than that. This gets into blasphemy. You see, this a lot of this stuff is not necessarily blasphemy. It's foolishness. This is blasphemy. It's blasphemy. This is blasphemy of the worst sort. All right. Now, you're an observer. You're part of what's going on today. I hope you're aware that just a few days from now that this nation will elect a president. I know that I don't have any kind of pull or connections or what have you to find out if Mr. Obama has a clue that this is even on the web. I would be surprised that he doesn't know it. I would be surprised that his staff wouldn't know about this. I'd be greatly surprised. But have any of you ever heard any disclaimer from any of his staff about this? I haven't. I have heard no disclaimer from anyone. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And you better start praying for this man. You know why? I personally believe that he's a target of Satan. I believe Satan's going after him. I believe he is. It's not a matter of being a Democrat or Republican. The devil wouldn't make him one. It doesn't mean a flip of his finger if you're a Democrat or Republican. If you could fit the bill and you were a Republican, he'd go after you. It'd make any difference to the devil. He's not interested in your politics. Really? That doesn't mean a thing to him. It just so happens that for some reason, for this time, 2008, that this man became a candidate. You see what I'm saying? He became a candidate. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, but there's too much going on to ignore it. How many of you agree with that tonight? There's too much going on to ignore this. And open your eyes. Watch, pray, seek God's face. And now, Christian friend, and I pray he doesn't, but if he does accept that mantra from Satan, if he accepts it, then, my friend, get ready. We're leaving here. And the Bible was fulfilled before your very eyes. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 said you'd see him. Doesn't that make you believe your Bible a little bit more? Doesn't it? Even if he's not the man, and I pray he's not, because I don't wish any ill against this man. But even if he's not the man, that ought to be enough to wake you up. There's just too many coincidences here tonight. Too many things converging together for you to just simply say, well, you know, I mean, no, not anymore. There's too much going on. I personally believe that the financial crisis was created. I do now. And why do I believe it now? Because of what's happening from it. A one-world financial system's going to come out of this. A one-world bank's going to come out of this. A kind of a quasi-world government right off the bat where all of the nations of the earth join together and have their monetary systems connected. And finally, a one-world currency will come out of it. And that's the only way that makes any sense. It really is. The only way that makes any sense is for the world to be able to buy and sell with the same currency. Therefore, they know they've got value in their hands, and they can negotiate on the same level anywhere they go. I guarantee you, talk to any CEO or any president of a bank or any investor up here in Wall Street, and they'd tell you, yes, it would be better for the whole world if we had one currency. It would cost us at the beginning because the American dollar would be devalued right off the bat. It would, because they're printing money right now. Fiat money's being printed like you wouldn't believe. The pressers are rolling, folks, and all it is a piece of paper. And the more paper they print like that and get out into circulation, the less it's worth. The less buying power it has. What's that do? Creates inflation. What happens when inflation goes up? It takes more to buy. But what does it do to interest rates? When inflation goes up, interest rates go up. So you're looking at something tonight. And I am, I don't know about you, but I am concerned. I can't, this is too much. I can't let this fly across the top of my head and not get my attention. I can't do it. And I'm still, in my heart of hearts, I'm praying, God, don't let it be Mr. Obama. I mean, I don't agree with his politics. There's a lot of things, but I don't agree with George Bush's politics either, if you don't know the truth about it. I don't agree with a lot of politics. That's why I'm not I'm not up here trying to push. I'm trying to teach the Bible. But in my heart of hearts, I want to say, Mr. Obama, please, son, do you understand where this power is coming from? He even said himself. He said this. He said, I can't quote him. I tried to find the quote a minute ago. I thought I had it. I wish I had it with me. I'll have to paraphrase him, and I'll have to quote him as best I can remember. But here, essentially, he said this. He said, who would have ever thought that this could have happened like this so quickly? In other words, he never thought it would. I mean, maybe he just threw his hat in the ring to try, you know, and get in the race. And all of a sudden, buddy, I mean, it exploded. And from a lot of the polls, it looks like he may go in as the president. We don't know until November the 4th. So as a preacher, as a pastor, my first feeling, and this is the truth, my first feeling as a pastor is that I don't want him to wind up in hell. But my responsibility as a pastor is to teach you and show you what could happen and show you what is happening. The Bible says that the dragon gave him his seat, his power, and his authority. What does that mean? That means that the playing field's not level. That's what it means. That's what it means. Don't you think it's remarkable? Don't you think it's remarkable that this country goes into a financial crisis, the worst it's had since 1929, right before the election? My, 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 what timing. Timing is everything with God. But don't you think it's quite... Now, how many of you here tonight believe that the financial crisis will affect the presidential race? That's a no-brainer. No-brainer. And it's not Mr. Obama's fault. It's not his fault. No one man created this mess, and it's not his fault he's running for president and gaining greatly from a financial crisis. That's not his fault. That's not his fault. If you're a gold miner and all of a sudden you strike gold, you know, that's the way it goes. You may be out there for 50 years and not get anything but a sore back. So it's an amazing thing how the timing has come together. Now, how many of you tonight, after I've said all this to you, believe that I'm against Barack Obama? Well, I'm not. If he walked in this house tonight, I'd be the first one to take a Bible and get down there and pray with him. But I'm also a preacher. And I'm a teacher of this book. And I've got a responsibility before God and you to give you the truth. And that's the truth. One more time, I'll state it simply. Here's the truth. There are people worshiping this man who believe that he's greater than man, who literally believe that he's God. Some of them believe he's God incarnate, that some of them believe that he is literally a spirit being that has passed the rest of us. Like Oprah says, he's evolved to a higher plane than we are. There are people out there who have literally elevated him to godhood. All right? All of his people have not done that. I read one woman who's an Obama supporter, and she says, I'm literally aghast at what some of you people are doing. She says, let's just keep it in politics. Why all this religious stuff? So all Obama supporters don't do that. But that is happening. And he is, whether he likes it or not, whether he even chooses it or not, or has made the choice or not, whether he likes it, he's in it. He's there, and now he's going to have to deal with it. And now that you've heard it tonight, you have to deal with it. It's all for me. I'll go home, go to bed. And there won't be anybody to, I'm not Joe the plumber. They won't be showing up in my yard. I'll tell you one thing, but the plumbers have flat got a lot of exposure in the last few days. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, praise God, there's not many woes on me then. Because there aren't many that speak well of me. Amen. Well, brother, that's the point. I mean, yes, I hope I did. If I failed to make that point, the point is that Satan has already grooming him. He's already grooming him. He's already handing him. He's coming to him. He's giving him all this right now. Saying, look what I can do for you. And he'll have to deal with Satan. He'll have to deal with Satan. He'll have to deal with him. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I know that. Yeah, right. But I mean, he knows enough Bible to know he's not son of God. I mean, when you get into blasphemy, he knows enough to know that. He's a smart man. Barack Obama is a smart man. And so, he has to deal with that. Yes, sir.
Richard, do you believe that as he has groomed this one to
Absolutely, brother. This is a nation of, I hate to be mean, but for the Bible, it's a nation of imbeciles. They don't know anything about the Bible. The society itself, the social part of the society, it's a relativistic, feel good. You know, they don't get into anything deeply. They don't analyze anything. They follow their feelings. It's all about how I feel. You know, if they excites me, I'm for him. If he doesn't excite me, I'm not for him. You know. You can ask people today why they support one candidate over the other. And I heard an interview the other day, what they did was to take, they went out and interviewed people who supported Mr. Obama, but they used John McCain's platform. Did you hear that? They used John McCain's platform. In other words, keeping the troops in Iraq and even so far as to Sarah Palin's the vice president. And it's sad, because they had no idea. They had no idea. That's exactly. And they said, oh, that'd be fine if his running mate Sarah Palin, you know. And but I mean, it just points out the fact that people just simply are not informed. They're not informed. And it goes back to the fact, again, if I feel good about it, you know, if it feels good, this is my position. And absolutely, brother. We don't have the liberty to go follow our feelings. We have to follow the truth. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Obama Messiah, one word. .blog, blog. And if I didn't give that out correctly, Mrs. Moreland will have it tomorrow. I'll email it to her. Make sure she gets it, and you can have it on the board in the back there. But I've got it on my computer. I always bookmark places like that so I can go right back to them. If you want to find it, all you got to do is type in, do a Google search. How many of you know how to use Google? Just type in Obama plus Messiah. Okay? Obama plus Messiah. It'll take you right straight. You'll hit 10,000 million. But it'll take you to that one soon. Quickly. It'll be the first page you hit. All right? Yes, sir. Well, it's a spirit, see? Satan has sent that out. Well, can you see, but I mean, here's the point. Can you not see how the Antichrist is going to be able to just pull them in? I mean, the Spirit's here now, folks. Spirit's already here. It's here. This is proof positive that the Spirit's here. Yes, sir. No. No. I remember the swooning. Now that you jolted my memory, that's right. I remember that. Quite a few of them, as a matter of fact. He had swoonings there for a while. And that's right. And healed. They were. All you got to do is type in Obama plus swoon. Yeah. Google's good. Believe me. you start Googling around. First thing you know, you find anything you want. Just put Google. I mean, not Google. Go to Google. If you don't know where it is, you can do this. How do you get the URL, whatever it is. But just, do you know where Google, have you got Google? Okay. Obama plus swoon. S-W-O-O-N. I guarantee you, you'll make hits with it. I guarantee you. What? Plus. The plus sign. Use the plus sign. Now, there are other ways to search with Google. I never did get into a lot of. I always found what I was looking for like that. Yes, sir.
The Catholics right now have a candle of Obama.
Oh, yeah, I meant to mention that. I meant to mention that. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you. I saw a photograph yesterday in San Francisco. Do you know what a votive candle is? Votive candle goes all the way back to heathenism. They used to use parts of the body and so forth to offer up prayers. That's what votive means. A votive candle, usually in Catholicism, has a saint. And that candle represents the saint they pray to. They pray to that saint. And lo and behold, now they've got one with Mr. Obama. Yeah. See how religious it's become? And I'm not saying he did that or even knows anything about it, but I'm trying to tell you what's going on. Votive candles now. Yes, ma'am. Immediate gratification.
Instant gratification. And they're so ready to accept, you know, what's coming up. They're so ready to accept that. But what I want to praise the Lord for is, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, that you're my God of eternity, of long term, forever and ever and ever, not yet. And I like what you said about my feelings. There's times I don't feel like a Christian. There's times I don't feel like I'm where I need to be with the Lord. There's times when it's cold and dark, and I'm not sure where I'm at, and I have to cry out to Him. But I know it's the truth in this book. Right,
you better believe it.
Tells me where I'm at.
Now, amen.
I'm trusting that to know that this is what's going to take me through, regardless of what's going on around me. While everybody else is out grabbing for that, let's fix it now, let's do it now, instead of working towards that long-term resolution, I can look at this and say, thank you, you're my eternal God. You're my eternal salvation.
God gives you little things here and there to let you know what you're made out of and what's in you. I was doing a lot of research on this, and a lot of this stuff, I was a ho-hum, you know, this foolishness, here they are worshiping, blah, 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 till I got to the thing where they called Him the Son of God. And man, I'm telling you, something hit me in here just like a bolt of lightning, because He touched a place inside me that's precious, a place inside me that's sanctified. It's what I believe about Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing to me on the face of this earth. Yes, ma'am. We've got it on video back there. We video everything, and we can have it made into a DVD for you. All you have to do is see, who does the DVDs? Mickey Blakely. Mickey Blakely. And she'll take care of making you a DVD. Yeah, it's archived. The Lion of Judah, one word, .org. And you can go to the archives, video archives, and you can play this back. And I think you can download it too. But it won't be the same quality unless you, if you get a DVD, you'll get better quality. Yeah. It's on right now as far as the web's concerned. Everything I said went all over the world. Wherever people might have been looking at the internet, you know. Yes, sir.
Well, there's one thing at the end of the day, two things I want to mention. At the end of the day, we all have to stand before God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And the fact that it is, our honesty comes out.
Yes, sir.
And if we're not honest, it'll be shouted in the devil.
That's right.
Yes, so you better make sure we're honest. But that's one thing. And the situation of him being the Messiah about 2 months before this whole study.
Yes, ma'am. I've heard Farrakhan do it. Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes, sir.
I was going to talk about Obama.
shelf abomination.
Right.
Well, somebody spoke up and said, you know, it sounds like abomination.
Haven't thought about that.
And another thing is off the web you can get too is that an interview that he did with Knoxville Reporter was. It's a real personal interview. You probably have seen it, but he's talking with John McCain. Obama is, saying, John McCain's not talking about my religion at all, my Muslim religion. And he just continues on with that interview, and the reporter stops.
Is that the one with Stephanopoulos when he said that?
He says, "Hey, you mean you're Christian?"
Yeah. If you wonder if that was a slip of the tongue or what's really going on. Yeah, I know. But see, that gets into, which if it's true, it's true. And what you're talking about there. But the part I wanted to emphasize tonight, and the part that I tried my best to show you, is that how this could be a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and Satan could be grooming this man. And if he is, this man's going to have to make a decision, a conscious decision, to say no to him. And that's what I would advise him. Yes, sir. Yeah. Are you talking about current diseases, contemporary plagues? Exactly. Isn't that something? History Channel has, you got to watch them. On the one hand, they'll come out with something like that to support the Bible. On the other hand, they'll come out with a bunch of garbage to... Yeah. Bottom line with any organization like that is viewers. And that way they can get more viewers. All right. Well, I hope what I said wasn't too much hype at the beginning of this tonight. I hope I've given you enough to make you think, get you interested. Y'all like to come down the front here and let's have prayer. You want to? Let's have an altar prayer tonight. We need to be doing some praying, folks. We're less than 2 weeks away from, I think, one of the biggest elections this country's ever had. And when you go to that polling booth, I've already voted, by the way. Amen. And, yes, ma'am.